بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. This CD is brought to you by Faith Publications, the publishing arm of Dar es Salaam in College Park, Maryland. Stay tuned for more information about Faith at the end of this CD.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهد الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة. من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد، ومن يعص الله ورسوله فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا. أما بعد، يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. O you who believe, fear Allah the way He deserves to be feared, and don't you die unless and until you have totally submitted, unless and until you've become Muslim. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is right. Brothers and sisters, every day, in every salah, in every prayer, we say a phrase in Surah Al-Fatiha. And that phrase is only a personification of the original declaration of faith. The declaration of faith that all of us know about and all of us have declared to ourselves and out loud at one time or another in our lives. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. I bear witness that there is no one who deserves to be worshipped but Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a messenger of Allah. Brothers and sisters, in Surah Al-Fatiha, we say, Iyaka na'bud. You are the one who we worship. You alone do we worship, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, one of the areas of ibadah, because we worship none but Allah, and you are the only one we worship, O Allah, as we say repeatedly in our prayers. So one of those areas of worship is a very wide spectrum of things. But one of those areas of worship is loving Allah. Loving Allah. And loving Allah is something that is obligatory upon us. It's not a choice that we have. It's not a recommendation that Allah is making. It is fardu ayn. It is an individual obligation. Each one of us must do it to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for the believer, he or she must love Allah more than anyone or anything else. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. That those who believe, they are most intense in their love of Allah. They love Allah more than anything else and anyone else. So when we say that we love Allah more than anything else and more than anyone else, what does that mean in practical, everyday terms? What does that mean to love Allah? To love Allah, brothers and sisters, when you love someone, what do you mean? And in particular, when you love Allah, what does that mean? Because again, this comes right from the shahada, from the declaration of faith. that there's no one who deserves to be worshipped but Allah. So there's no one who deserves to be loved but Allah in an absolute sense. So what does that mean, to love Allah? It means to listen to Allah. It means to listen to His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It means to listen to Islam, the mission that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam with. It means to follow what Allah has said and to follow what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us to do. It means to obey Allah and to obey His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what love of Allah means. It means to care for Allah, to care for His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to care for His mission. It means to spend in the way of Allah. It means to spend the way that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has asked us to spend. It means if you love someone, you're always worried to see if they're happy with you. If you truly love someone, you're worried to see if they're happy with you, if Allah is happy with you. You're worried about this. You're worried if the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he was here today, would he be happy with you? This is true love. You're very careful not to, if you love someone, you're very careful not to make them upset in any way. You watch every little thing that you do, you watch every little thing that you say. If you love someone, you long to meet them. You yearn to see them. If you love someone, you think about them all the time. This is true love. You're consumed by their thought. If you love someone, you're always making plans to please that person. If you love Allah truly, you're always making plans to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you love someone, you sacrifice everything that you have for the sake of that person. And in our case, as those who have submitted to Allah, if we love Allah the way we're supposed to, we're to sacrifice everything for the sake of Allah. If you love someone, you go out of your way to please that person. To please Allah, that is. If you love someone, then you're ready to defend that person no matter what happens. If you love someone, you're ready to change your lifestyle. If you love someone, you're ready to dedicate yourself to that person or to devote yourself to that person. So brothers and sisters, if all of us love Allah the way that we're supposed to love Allah, that means that we love Him more than anything else. And in all those different ways that I just listed, to listen and to follow and to obey and to care and to spend and to be worried if that person will be happy, to be careful not to make them upset, and to long to meet them and to yearn to see them and to think about them all the time and to plan to please that person, make plans, do whatever you have to sacrifice, go out of your way, change your lifestyle, defend that person. This is what loving Allah means. However, if you love something in this life more than Allah, and it could be something halal, it could be something that is allowed for us to love, but if you love those things more than Allah, then you're in big trouble. Then there's problems. Even if you love those things a nanogram or a milligram more than Allah, or even a teeny weeny bit more than Allah, then there's problems. And there could be punishment. Brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran tells us, قُلْ إِن كَانَ أَبَاؤُكُمْ. He says, look, openly declare, tell people, that if your parents, if your fathers or mothers, أَبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ, you know, and if your children, وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ, and if your brothers, and if your spouses, your wives, your husbands, if your relatives, and the money that you make, and the businesses that you conduct, and you're afraid that you're going to lose money, and the housing, your homes that you have, that you're so happy with. If these eight things, which are all halal, to love your parents, to love your children, to love your relatives, to love your brothers, to love your spouses, to love to make money for the sake of Allah, there's nothing wrong with that. to love your homes, to love these things, this is all halal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if these eight things, أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ. If those eight things are more beloved to you than three, that is Allah, His Prophet, and struggling in the way of Allah, struggling for the cause of truth and justice, struggling for the cause of Allah, if those eight things are more valuable to you than these three, Allah and His Prophet, and struggling in the way of Allah, then just you wait, فَتَرَبَّصُوا, until Allah brings His decree of punishment. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Surely Allah does not guide those people who are rebellious transgressors. The point being that these things are all halal, but yet Allah demands of us that we love Him more than these halal things. So if Allah, brothers and sisters, is talking about the halal things in this way, imagine what He would have to say about the haram things. The haram things are even more detestable by Allah, even more loathsome to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even hates those more. And that's the problem today, brothers and sisters. If you think about it for a second, just for a moment, that if in your life you love someone more than Allah, that means that you listen to them more than Allah, you obey them more than Allah, you follow them more than Allah, you care for them more than Allah, you spend for that path more than Allah, you worry about how they're going to think about you more than Allah, and you're worried if they're going to get upset more than Allah, and you make all your plans to make sure that these human beings are going to be happy more than you would worry about Allah, and you're always thinking, you're always consumed by thought of a certain human being, then there's a lot of problem. There's a lot of trouble. Because if you take things such as music, or having a girlfriend, or having a boyfriend, or going out without a mahram alone, or love letters, or chatting in the chat room, without the presence of a wali, without the presence of a guardian, or writing emails that you know you'd have no business writing, or if you're into drugs, or if you're into pornography, these things are haram things. So if you love, or as they say, fall in love with these things, and a great fall it is, if you fall in love with these things, then there's a lot of problem. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that if those people, if they were just to see those people who have done wrong, that is, love these worldly things, these haram things more than Allah, if they were to see on the Day of Judgment when all the punishment comes, is yarawna al-'adhab, when all the punishment comes, they will see that Allah is the one who has all the power. And Allah is shadeed al-'adhab. Allah is very intense in His punishment, very severe in His punishment. Because why? Because these people loved other things, and especially haram things, more than Allah. On the Day of Judgment, brothers and sisters, those who loved other things and other people more than Allah, they will regret it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala depicts their scene on the Day of Judgment and says, وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ. And on that day, when these people, these wrongdoers, who used to love other things more than Allah, they come forward, they'll be biting on their hands. Not on their fingernails or their fingers, but their hands. They'll be so nervous. They'll be so stressed out. And what are they going to say? يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِ اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا. He'll say, oh, how I wish I would have followed the path of the Prophet. Oh, how I wish. But now it's too late. He can't do anything. But he's just wishing now. Back when he was back in that 21st century, back in America, when he was in that community, he wished he would have followed the way of Allah. He wished he would have followed the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says, Ya waydata. He says, you know, destruction be rained down upon me. He's making a dua against himself. Woe be to me. Laytani lam attakhidh fulanan khalila. I wish I wouldn't have taken so-and-so to be my friend. I wish I wouldn't have taken so-and-so to be my girlfriend. I wish I wouldn't have taken so-and-so to be my boyfriend. I wish I wouldn't have confided in them. the way I wasn't supposed to. I wish I didn't dare someone to go and have a girlfriend. I wish I didn't dare someone to go and have a boyfriend. Why? He says, لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي. Because he took me away from the remembrance of Allah once it had come to me. Once it had come to me. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. Brothers and sisters, it is important for all of us to say the salah on our Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم صل وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Brothers and sisters, you know Ibrahim عليه السلام. Ibrahim عليه السلام, when he was hardly 16, like a teenager, he was thrown into the fire because he objected. His people, they threw him in a fire. And the reason was that he objected to the idols that they were worshipping. You see, they were all used to worshipping these idols. And he objected to that, and he told them, you should only worship Allah. You should only love Allah. You should only love Allah and not all these other idols. And he knew that the reason they loved those idols was because they loved each other. So he told them, as far as him, he knew for sure that he's only going to love one God and one Allah, and that's it. And he would not let anything distract him from loving that one Allah. No relatives, no friends, no people, no countrymen, no one. No one would distract him from loving Allah alone. That was his focus. So he told his people, he said that, إِنَّمَا اتَّخَذْتُمْ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوْثَانًا مَوَدَّتَ بَيْنِكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. He told them that, look, you all have taken these idols, you know, outside of Allah. You have begun to worship these idols. Why? Because مَوَدَّتَ بَيْنِكُمْ, because you all love each other. And you don't love Allah. Because you're afraid to offend anyone, so therefore you go ahead and you just follow the trend and the culture of the society, whatever everyone else is doing, you go ahead and you do it because you don't want to disappoint anyone. You just go ahead and listen to each other, you don't listen to Allah. You just go ahead and follow each other, you don't follow Allah. You just go ahead and obey each other, you don't obey Allah. You just go ahead and you care for each other, you don't care for Allah. You just go ahead and you're worried about making each other upset. And you're not worried about upsetting Allah. You're worried about making each other happy and not Allah. You're always thinking of each other and not Allah. You're always planning to please each other and not Allah. You're always ready to sacrifice for each other but not Allah. You're always ready to go out of your way for each other but not for Allah. You're devoted to everyone else, to each other but not to Allah. Ibrahim alayhi salam was telling his people this. So his people, they were upset at him. And Ibrahim alayhi salam told them, look, وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, on the day of judgment, يَكْفُرُ بَعْضُكُمْ بِبَعْضٍ. You all think that you're friends right now. You think that you have a girlfriend. You think you have a boyfriend. But on the day of judgment, يَكْفُرُ بَعْضُكُمْ بِبَعْضٍ. That you all are going to disown each other. You all pretend as if you all didn't even know each other. And as if that's not bad enough, وَيَلْعَنُوا بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. And then you're going to curse each other. So in this world, you might think, you know, I have a girlfriend and I have a boyfriend and I'm seeing this woman and I'm seeing that man. But in the hereafter, you're going to curse each other. And Allah says, وَمَأْوَاكُمُ النَّارِ. And the final abode is the fire. For that girlfriend and that boyfriend. وَمَا لَكُمْ مِنْ نَاصِرِينَ. And there's no one to help you on that day. So that was the tragedy. So, brothers and sisters, but if you go about meeting the opposite sex in the right way, if you go about meeting a woman and a man in the right way, in Allah's way, then that person is known as a muttaqi. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, this person is the one who fears Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, these type of friendships, when they're done in the way of Allah, the way that Allah wants us to do them, that means in the presence of a guardian. Not that a boyfriend and a girlfriend just call each other or just communicate with each other through email or through the chat room or whatever, or send each other love letters, or go out without a mahram, go out without a guardian. No, if it's done in the right way with a wali, with a guardian, then this will form a true friendship. If you do it the other way, it produces false friendships. Friendships that don't last. We think that we love each other, but we really don't. If we do it for worldly reasons. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you do it in the way of Allah, then even in the hereafter, you're going to be friends because you're going to be muttaqeen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-akhillah, yawma'idhin ba'duhum li ba'din adu. That the friends on that day, on the day of judgment, all of them are going to be enemies of each other. Except, illa al-muttaqeen. Except those people who are muttaqeen, who are God-fearing. These will be the true friendships. So brothers and sisters, you know the most dangerous thing about all this situation that I've mentioned? Because many of us have become very lax in gender relations. Many of our brothers are taking out sisters without the mahram. Brothers approach sisters directly for marriage without talking to the wali of that sister. And sisters have also become very bold without haya. Sisters are also going directly up to the brothers without talking, for example, to their wali or talking to the imam of the community. And we see brothers and sisters going out alone to a restaurant for dinner or for lunch and talking to each other. And they're not married. And there's no wali, there's no mahram with them. This is haram when it comes to Islam. This is something not allowed. Because in most of those cases, the woman is taken advantage of. And Islam came to protect the woman. And therefore, the dangerous thing about all of this, when people begin to have girlfriends and boyfriends, because it has had an effect on our children as well. Our children are beginning to communicate with each other on that level because they see the adults not practicing the deen. So, the dangerous thing, when people get into that type of an un-Islamic relationship, is that it puts our belief in jeopardy. It puts our entire belief in jeopardy. Because the question comes up, is do you really believe in Allah? Do you really believe what Allah is saying? And the problem is, brothers and sisters, you see, the bottom line is that most of us have not really understood who Allah is. Most of us have not really understood who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. We have not realized how great He is. We have not realized how merciful He is. We have not realized how compassionate He is. We have not realized how forgiving Allah is. We haven't realized how giving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. We haven't realized how generous Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. We haven't realized how kind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. You know, Allah is closer to you than your jugular vein, as He tells us in the Quran. Your jugular vein in your neck, He's closer to you than that. When you make a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala something. And Allah says, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. I'm very near. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. If the person goes ahead and whenever they make the dua, whenever they supplicate, whenever they ask Allah for something, I'm going to answer. When you go down in the sajda, that's the closest you can get to Allah. In the sajda, with your nose on the ground. Allah comes down to us in the last third of the night. He's very close to us. As a matter of fact, He's so close, all you have to do is just to say His name. And He's that close to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Remember me and I'll remember you. Subhanallah. He's so close to you. But see, brothers and sisters, most of us have not developed that trust in Allah. most of us have not developed that confidence in Allah, that what Allah is saying is right. And because we live in an environment and in a culture that is full of mistrust, no one trusts each other, people distrust each other all the time, nobody believes anyone, that has now begun to influence our relationship with Allah also. That people now don't trust Allah. They're so ungrateful that people don't trust Allah. And because we are not close to Allah, because we haven't drawn closer to Allah, we haven't loved Allah the way that we need to love Allah. And because we haven't felt the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love of Allah is raining down upon us, but we haven't realized it. And because we haven't realized it, we are now beginning to look for love elsewhere, outside of Allah. Like in boyfriends and in girlfriends, in other women and other men, other human beings. We've begun to look for love over there. And Allah warns us. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. And among the people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, are those people who take equals or rivals to Allah. They begin to love those people like they would love Allah. They're constantly consumed by their thought. They're always thinking about them. They're always focused on them. They listen to them and they don't listen to Allah. They obey them. They're always worried about making them upset or not upset. They're always worried about making them happy or not happy. They're always sacrificing. They go out of their way for them. They devote themselves to them. They defend them. They do everything for them instead of Allah. And in that way, they've set up an equal to Allah in their lives. Almost as if they've set up these idols in their lives. Brothers and sisters, that's a very dangerous precedent. If you love someone more than Allah, and you know you're not supposed to, but you openly do, then you're committing shirk. And if you're loving someone almost as you love Allah, and you shouldn't be loving that person, like a girlfriend or a boyfriend, then you're treading on dangerous territory that will lead you to shirk. And that's one crime Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive. Brothers and sisters, we must be very sure not to commit this type of association with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you know, if that person does not respect, the minute someone comes up to you, for example, and start sending you these letters that I love you and I care for you and you're the only person in my life and so on. And these love letters, they begin to come. And these emails begin to come. And those little telephone calls begin to come behind our parents' backs or behind the back of the guardian or behind the back of the wali. Then immediately that should set off your taqwa alarm in your heart. That this is something wrong. And on the day of judgment, we might be cursing each other if we follow this way. On the day of judgment, we'll disown each other if we follow this way. Because look, if the person is not worried about listening or obeying Allah, if they don't care about respecting Allah, they're certainly not going to respect you, because a day will come when they're going to disrespect you. Because you're just a lowly human being. If they can't respect Allah, they're certainly not going to respect you. It doesn't matter whatever they say. So, brothers and sisters, our kalima, our creed, our aqidah demands of us, our kalima demands of us that we love Allah the most. And we set up no rivals with Allah. Because after all, in the shahada we say what? La ilaha illallah. There is no one who deserves to be worshipped but Allah. So therefore, there's no one who deserves to be loved in the absolute sense but Allah. And so we love Allah the most, more than anything, more than anyone else. More than a girlfriend and more than a boyfriend. More than those illegitimate relationships. If that is the case, And we should know that not only do we love Allah most, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ, that those who believe, they are the most intense in their love to Allah. So we love Allah the most, and we love those whom Allah loves. And we love the actions that Allah loves. We love to do those things that Allah loves, that are spelled out in the Sharia. This type of love is a legitimate, true, and halal love. But if you become a rebel, and if you rebel, and you could care less for what Allah has to say, or what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has to say, or what Islam has to say, if you become like that, then understand that you have now succumbed to an illegitimate, false, and haram type of love. Or as they say, you've now fallen in love. If you have the legitimate type of love, you walk tall with love of Allah. But if you have the illegitimate type of love, then you fall in love, as they say, and a great fall that will be. 70 years, as a matter of fact, in the hellfire. You know, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to make a dua. He used to say to Allah, As'aluka hubbak. Oh Allah, I ask you for your love. وَحُبَّ مَنْ يُحِبُّكَ. And I ask you for the love of those people who love you. In other words, get me to love those people as well, whom you love. وَحُبَّ عَمَلٍ يُقَرِّبُنِي إِلَى حُبِّكَ. And give me the love of any action, any deed that I can do that will bring me closer to your love, O Allah. In another dua, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, اللَّهُمَّ رَزُقْنِي حُبَّكَ. وَحُبَّ مَنْ يَنْفَعُنِي حُبُّهُ عِنْدَكَ. O Allah, bless me, grace me with your love, and the love of those people who will benefit me, whose love will benefit me with you, O Allah. So brothers and sisters, the bottom line is that if, as Muslims, we worship Allah alone, that means we love Allah alone. Allah is the one we love the most. And if we love Allah the most, then that means that the other things, if they are not Islamic, we don't love them. And we leave them alone. But if you insist to travel that way, if you insist to tread that path, which Allah hates, like to have a girlfriend and a boyfriend, then there's big, big problems ahead. رَبَّنَا أَتِينَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ رَبَّنَا لَا تَزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ.
For more information on Faith's line of products, or to give your feedback on this product, please call 1-866-FAITH-12. That's 1-866-324-8412. Or visit our website at www.faithpublications.org. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.